Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Sorry. Great. Good job, Kai. Clear your throat. Just as Charleston starts the music.
Perfect.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rosdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is Friday today, the second day of June, 2023.
Yes, thank God it is Friday. And I am Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us for Economics on Tap, because surely after this week, we all need that drink. We've got our YouTube live stream up and running. We do have drinks, although both of us going non-alcoholic today. The news fix, and then we're going to end with a round of half full and half empty.
Yep. Who's going first? You going first? All right, let's do drinks. You go first, since you've got have like a demonstration, right?
Yes, because at your request, you said you wanted to see the fire of my drink smoker. So first of all, I've got a it's like a cranberry hibiscus margarita that I made with one of those element shrubs that I have. And then I'm using this Jalisco non-alcoholic tequila, which is actually quite tasty, and some mint simple syrup. And so the drink by itself is tasty because I've had this before, but you wanted to see the fire. So I've got this little wooden disc thing, and then I take my little box of wood chips and put the little wood chips into the thingy. I'm not sure if this is showing up well. Anyway, wood chips into the little basket in the bottom. And then that goes, have to leave the little vent hole open. And then the whole thing sits on top of the drink.
Oh, sits over the glass. All right.
Yeah.
And then you light it on fire.
And then I light the wood chips on fire with this handy dandy blowtorch.
Oh my God. Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know if you can see it, but the smoke is like falling down into the drink.
Yeah. Oops,
don't let it leak. Yeah. And so you just keep blowing fire
until
all the wood chips are gone. And then you close the lid. And you let the smoke sit inside of the drink for a couple minutes.
And
then the drink gets all smoky.
That's more pyrotechnic than I imagined it would be.
Oh, really? What did you think I meant when I said there was fire and smoke?
I don't know. But I don't think that was
While we are waiting for my drink to fully smoke, what are you having?
So I'm having a cup of coffee because I'm going out tonight and I need to be awake. I'm using my Puabic mug, which is awesome. I know. I'm going to do a little show and tell. So, people on this podcast know that I am a beer snob. I'm also a little bit of a coffee snob, but I'm a different kind of coffee snob. I really like good coffee, and I enjoy a good cup of coffee. And if it is presented to me with some, you know, single source beans or whatever, blah blah blah, I will definitely enjoy that. But whole milk only, by the way, no skim milk. But also, coffee is just totally utilitarian. And so what you need to know is that for a long time, when my kids were little, and I have four children, we were going to Costco every 10 days, 2 weeks. And we were getting like 4 gallons of milk and 6 loaves of bread and, you know, stuff that you have with a growing family and this and that. And I started buying Costco coffee. Mm-hmm. And so my go-to coffee on a daily basis is Kirkland House Blend. Custom roasted by Starbucks, I will point out, that gets the job done, you know? And we still buy that in, let's see, 40-ounce, 2.5-pound bags. And we get them like 4 at a time because we go through a lot of coffee in my house. And that's
Do your
what
kids
I drink.
Drink coffee as well?
No, actually one does. Tate does. The oldest one does. And he's coming home in a week or two. And so coffee intake will increase. But it's myself and my wife and in the house now drinking coffee. But, you know, I have a couple of cups in the morning. And then when she gets up later, I make her a fresh pot of coffee and she has a cup. And then almost every afternoon I come home and I have a fresh pot of coffee. So we use a lot of coffee.
My goodness. One cup of coffee and I'm ruined for the day. But people in the chat were asking if I have a fire extinguisher nearby. And actually, yes, it's going to be involved if I get up to get it while I'm on camera. But I do have one of those like sort of mini fire extinguishers just like right over there. So don't worry. I was not going to burn my house down. All right.
Interesting. All right. So how does it taste, Kimberly?
Well, I can definitely taste the smoke, but it's quite tasty. I like it a lot. Would definitely drink again. Why don't you go first with the news?
Okay, let me scroll to see what I selected. Oh, yeah, so this one, man. So, Axios today, their media reporter, Sarah Fisher, had this scoop, which it upsets me for a whole lot of reasons. And we can talk about that if you want, and I appreciate the First Amendment issues here and the slippery slope issues and all of that jazz. But YouTube is going to reverse its misinformation policy to allow U.S. election disinformation and denialism. Here's what Sarah says. In reversal of its election integrity policy, YouTube will leave up content that says fraud, errors, or glitches occurred in the 2020 presidential election and other U.S. elections, the company confirmed to Axios on Friday. That is the wrong damn answer. Full stop. Full stop.
As if the AI misinformation, disinformation wasn't going to be enough. Now this.
Yeah.
And
yep.
This election is going to be about what people believe, and we are not making it easy for folks at all. That's a bad decision.
Yeah.
That is a very bad decision.
The platform, Sarah reports, will provide more details about its approach to the 2024 election in the months to come. One hopes that they will reconsider this. And my tangential news item, for those of you who are fans of the media, who watch CNN, who are interested in the media's role in this election, or are just, you know, in the mood for a really good read, Tim Alberta in The Atlantic today has an amazing profile of Chris Licht, the CEO of CNN. And it's just, it's jaw-dropping, truly.
I love the headline, Inside the Meltdown at CNN.
Yeah.
Because, my goodness. Like, it's like we've all really learned nothing. Nothing.
Yep.
And... well, not all of us. Some of us are doing things differently this time around, but some of us are taking the full information that we have and still making decisions that are going to be so harmful, and that is not great.
Totally.
Okay.
Anyway, that's me. What's you?
What is me? So I am another story on Pride Month. Pride Month has started. My uncle is getting his float ready for to do the float that he's going to do in the Pride Parade because that is his thing. And I saw this interesting piece also in Axios and a couple of other places pointing to reports from Glassdoor and also the Society for Human Resource Management. Both of them put out different reports from surveys they did on queer folks in the workplace. And so a couple of interesting takeaways from these things. 45% of employed LGBTQ plus Americans feel that being out at work could hurt their careers. And that number has only dropped 2 percentage points over the past 4 years. So despite the administration change, a lot of people want to link the administration to many, many things, but that has not changed. And then in the other report from the Society for Human Resource Management says a quarter of LGBTQ plus workers said they do not feel they are treated fairly at work. And 2 in 5 have not disclosed their identity at work
of that group, 20% say they believe doing so would prevent them from being promoted. So the numbers are important. I bring all of this up to say that, you know, it kind of ties back to what we've been talking about with sort of the rainbow washing and corporations struggling to sort of figure out what to do in terms of the conservative backlash. And nevertheless, even the companies that do say that they have inclusive workplaces, there are still a lot of folks out there who don't feel welcome at work. And so be nice. That's what I got to say. Be nice.
Be nice. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
And with that, we're done with the news on this Friday. We're going to take a quick break. Coming back for a little round of Half Full, Half Empty. Half full, half empty is the game. Drew Jostedt is in charge. Drew, begin.
Are you half full or half empty on tipping robots?
Oh, so this is an interview I did this week at some point, I forgot, with a woman at Lehigh who studies American attitudes toward tipping. And the question was, in our increasingly automated world where there's like self-service kiosks for sandwiches at airports or beer at stadiums, do you tip? It was really interesting. I do, and I'll go half full because, you know, there's a human involved somewhere. The one caveat, the one catch, of course, is you don't know exactly where the money's going. That's the catch.
Right. I'm going to go half empty, and I had reason to think about this because they asked me about this when I was doing the BBC a couple weeks ago because, you know, for those who don't know, Marketplace has a partnership with the BBC, and they have the show Business Matters, and sometimes we all go on there. Anyway, they were asking me about, you know, how the backlash against tipping in the United States. And one of the things that I found myself explaining, because international audience, was that we have two tiers of wages in the United States, minimum wage and tipped minimum wage. And one of the reasons that Americans are such, air quote, generous tippers is because in the back of our minds is this idea that people getting tips are making exceedingly low wages and need those tips to compensate. Now, in some of these jobs now where people are asking for tips, they are not making the tipped minimum wage. They are making minimum wage. Is minimum wage enough? No, but I'm not once I actually give it some thought, I'm not trying to help somebody make up the difference between making $2 or $4 an hour and minimum wage. This is on top of whatever wages they're getting, and therefore, you know, you're kind of subsidizing their employer, not paying them a livable wage. So that doesn't, you know, mean that people should not be tipped if they don't make below living wages. But I'm just saying that I feel a little bit less obligated sometimes. If
that's fair,
it's a dynamic where I know that someone is actually making a minimum wage at least. So layered on top of that, it being a robot, I'm going to go half empty.
Yeah, that's fair. That is a thoughtful and considerate response. Makes total sense.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, Drew, what's next?
Oh my God. Dogs.
Okay, Apple is expected to debut like a virtual reality goggles next week. Are you half full or half empty on them stepping into the metaverse?
I don't understand why they're doing this. I don't know what they think it's for. And I think also that the technology is still, even if it's Apple and we all love their machines and they're pretty and they're interactive or interoperable and it's seamless and blah, 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 Steve Jobs is a genius. But what's it for? And also, people still aren't going to wear stuff on their face. They're just not. That's what I got. Empty. All the way.
Half full, actually. On
really?
This one.
Okay.
And this is as someone who hasn't touched her Oculus in probably about 8 months at this point. But one thing I did recognize through my – I actually went into the Facebook or Meta's Metaverse Horizons space, absolutely useless. And I played the games and they made my mother and I – gave us motion sickness. I did use one of the workout games, which I really liked, but I'm lazy and I don't like to exercise, and so that's why I haven't touched it in 8 months. But one thing I do think it is useful and will continue to be useful for is education and immersive experiences. So especially now that there's a lot more remote learning for kids of all ages and adults, and training modules that need a little bit more depth to them, and the changing way that we entertain ourselves, I think that there is going to be a big appeal for immersive movies, immersive video games, and immersive educational experiences. And if Apple has the tech to streamline that and make it not motion sickness inducing, or to scale it to where homeschooled kids or college students or med students who are trying to figure out like how to dig into like people's bodies and stuff can actually get a meaningful experience from it, I do think there's a future for it. Workplace, no, not really. Sort of everyday hanging out for social media structures, no. But yeah, that's I'm half full. So, I think Apple might be able to pull it off.
Are you thinking much like the App Store, right? They invented the iPhone and then the App Store came. You're thinking they build this headset and the App Store for the headset will come?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? And I think the demand is kind of already there. Robert in the chat was just saying, we have several versions at the library and yes to this being a key thing in education. But the problem is funding schools so that schools can actually have access. And so Carol says they're trying to use VR for training and manufacturing. So it's happening whether we like it or not. And somebody else said VR games with AI NPCs, which is non-player characters, FYI, are going to be amazing. That was a lot of letters. VR games with AI NPCs, FYI. Wow. All right, I'm done.
Yeah, Drew.
Half full or half empty on learning to invest with computer games?
I don't know anything about this.
Neither do I, but I can imagine that kids learn lots of other things with computer games, and so do adults. So, sure, half full. I'll take it.
Sure. I'll go with that. Half full. Makes sense. So long as it's play money, let's not have kids using real money, please.
Oh, yeah. Please.
Just check.
All right. Multifamily construction spending is up 25% year over year in April. Are you half full or half empty on an apartment construction boom?
That was Henry Up on Marketplace today. Yep. Well, that's exactly it. And that's why I'm half full. We desperately need housing in this country. We need affordable housing more than anything. We need more housing, full stop. So half full. Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
Half full if it's affordable.
Yeah.
Which I know it won't be because the economy, but, you know, I can say it out loud anyway. All right. Yep. Are we down to our last topic?
Poll time.
Poll time.
All right,
time. Everybody in the YouTube chat, get ready to weigh in, and we will vamp while y'all think about it. Go, Drew.
Are you half full or half empty on bars specifically designed for you to bring your dog?
Wow. Wow.
This is different than, like, your regular bars with outdoor seating?
It's like specifically meant to be a dog bar.
Dog bar. Well, yeah, there are cat bars, right?
Are there?
Or cat cafes.
In the United States? That feels like, I mean, I've definitely heard of those things overseas, but I've not heard of them very commonly here.
I think there's a place is there not a place in Georgetown that's like a cat cafe? Sorry.
Well, let's look while we wait for everybody to vote.
I was just going
to
say. Georgetown.
To the duck goes.
Cafe.
Crumbs and Whiskers Cat
there
Cafe.
There you go. Crumbs and Whiskers. There you go. Yep. Yeah.
Our rescued cats can't wait to meet you. Come and visit and fall in love.
There you go.
Oh,
there you go.
That's
so. The answer is yes. So look, I'm a dog guy. Are we? Is it time here? Do we have to vamp for?
We got 153 votes. I mean, we have 153 votes. Yeah, go for it.
All right. Okay. I'm a dog guy, but I don't think I want dogs in my bar or restaurant. Or bar. It's a bar, right, Drew?
It is a bar, yeah.
It is a bar, yeah. I think I don't want dogs in my bar, so I'm going to say half empty.
I feel like there are already enough dogs in bars, so I'm going to go half empty.
Fair enough. Fair enough. What does the poll say?
Who's what does the poll say?
Because I still don't know how to do this.
Maybe we're waiting.
I leave Marketplace,
close the poll, man.
Learn how to do this.
All right. Now the poll is closed. Before we've got half full, 68%, half empty, 31%. So.
Wow. All right. Okay.
All right.
People get to do what they want. That's fine.
Exactly.
So be it. So be it. Whoops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Dog people. Here we go. Got it.
We are done for the day and for the week, actually. I'm gone Monday, Tuesday. Yes. Amy and Kimberly are going to be here till then. Keep the questions and the comments and the thoughts and whatever honestly is on your mind. Coming to us. We're at 508-UB-SMART. That's 508-UB-SMART. Or you can get us at makemesmart@marketplace.com. .com or .org?
.org. .org. Definitely .org. .org.
Definitely
.org. All right. And next Friday, a week from today, Kai and me, I never get it right, we'll be in Seattle for a special live edition of Make Me Smart. It's our first time doing this, so I'm pretty excited about it. We hope to see a lot of you there if you're in the Seattle area, or if you can make it there, you know, we'll include a link to the event details on our show page, and I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. Live people are always fun.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Drew Jostad wrote the theme music to Half Full, Half Empty and hosted the fun thing. Antonio Barreras is wrapping up his internship with us today. Big thank you to Antonio for all of your hard work and great ideas and just general positive attitude. We super enjoyed having him on the team and we wish you all the best.
The pair behind our Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcast. Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand.
Excellent timing, Kai.
Trained audio professional.
Cheers and happy Friday.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.